minutes to assemble ourselves, get ready for a morning of worship. Okay, let's see now. Y'all owe me 2 minutes. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. One of the purposes of this prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the empowerment of worshiping God in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity, the freedom to come and worship as we see fit. We understand that a large portion of the earth today, people do not have this freedom where they can just come and worship as they see fit. So, Father, we value this freedom and we use this freedom in worshiping together. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, in a few moments we're going to be taking up this silent weapon in the Christian life, which is prayer. So let's begin with 401, is it? 401, Sweet Hour of Prayer, getting ready for our study. So let's stand and sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Children, they can't even study for an hour. How are you going to pray for an hour? Well, when you really hurt, and I pray in one way that you don't, but another way to do that, you'll learn that you can stay in prayer for an hour. But just pray without ceasing, moment by moment, as we'll be seeing. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Went by yesterday and saw our good friend Jim and Annelle Langston. And as of yesterday, he had his treatment Friday, but I guess he was retired this morning.
Yeah, he's extremely tired. Still, that's the biggest challenge. His third treatment on Friday, apparently from the blood work, it looks like the treatment's maybe having somewhat of a positive effect, which is good. But his biggest challenge right now is he's tired every day. Okay. I don't think the treatments themselves is not making him sick or nauseous. It's just, he's exhausted. So every day that I've talked to him, that's the main thing that comes out is he's just tired.
He looked tired yesterday.
He's been sleeping a little better. I don't think he slept real well Friday night, but he's been sleeping better, so that's good. But it's just physically, it's just not there. So pray for physical energy and strength.
Do what, sir?
Pray for physical energy and strength.
Yeah. So please be a prayer for Jim and Annelle. And during this time and what's going on with Jim, really happy and pleased. Kit and Brian Cooper have really stepped up. Brian Cooper's handling the tapes, getting the tapes out. We still have, of all the people and all that we do, five hold on. They just got to have the tapes. And I'd like to educate them about this, but we'll just have to see. So I'm very appreciative to Brian and Kit taking up the slack. Gigi, are you still learning over here? All right, Gigi's learning over here. Good. So I got that covered. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for praying for me. I'm feeling better now.
Good.
So I got a clearance.
Well, we're not going to start praying for you.
I got a clearance on my arms this past Thursday, so I'm up, able to do everything just like usual and exercise again.
Well, she can hit. She just did like
this. Oh, I hit him worse than that. Yeah, I still need the prayer for my colleague at work.
Okay.
Still a lot of trial. Right now, the most important thing is for the team to come together and realize that they can't do everything on their own flesh. That's just the biggest thing right now. I'm trying to get to them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Now I see another hand for prayer requests. Yes.
So this weekend we have our SLAM retreat with all of our high schoolers that are coming. There's 30 kids that are coming over our new facility in Lake Lavon. Specific prayer requests that the teaching and the worship and the fellowship just pierces their soul with what God wants them to know coming out of this. It's reckless, and been kind of taught on that a few months back. Is the theme Phil's going to be teaching? Just a lot of these kids, a lot of them are seniors that are getting ready to go off to college and or different places around the country, and we just pray that this is one of those jumping off points where they say, hey, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to continue my spiritual life in pursuing Christ. So that's the prayer for all of these kids. Just get in their soul and teach them the reckless life of chasing Christ.
And when does SLAM camp start?
Friday night.
Friday night.
Okay. So we will not be here next month.
And it goes through Sunday night?
Sunday afternoon.
Good. Sunday afternoon, yeah. All right, very good. Be in prayer, people. There's a lot going on with these young people. Pray that the Holy Spirit can guide, convict, lead, and power. Very good. Let's see, how are we doing on the plants?
The last I heard, we had 35 orders. I have no idea how many of those orders were what, but at this point, we had 35 orders.
Is so that good?
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's a little bit under than what it was last year. It was about 44.
Oh, come on, people. What are you in the garden going to do about the plants?
So, and today is the last day. You know, we've got a couple of days before we have to report it, but...
To order.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to order it then. So, you know, if you know anyone, we'll squeeze them in there. I don't want to tell you that because Terry will get mad at me. But we will, I promise. I even offered to help someone plant their plants.
Oh, that was me.
It was my pregnant granddaughter. I told her, oh, my plants, I know.
That's not me.
So, however you want to do, we're looking forward to raising the money so we can have a great camp.
All right, any other prayer requests? All right. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, this Wednesday night, if you're interested in boats at all, you want to be here. It is an unbelievable study. Paul is in a shipwreck. It gives a lot of nautical information. I had to learn a lot about boats and storms and what different kinds of storms were. And this is no small boat. There are over 261 people in this boat. It's a pretty good sized boat. And it talks about dropping anchor, pulling anchor, all kinds of things. So if you're a boatsman at all, you want to see and study. This is Satan's counterattack. Satan has tried to shut Paul down ever since he went back to Jerusalem. It hasn't worked. Then he went to Caesarea. That didn't work. And now the Roman Empire is going to send him to Rome. And so Satan figures, I can stop him from giving the gospel in Rome, and that is to kill him on a shipwreck. And it is a tremendously interesting study of the working and the power of Satan and how God overrules and causes a lot of torment, if you will, for everyone on the ship. It'll be a really interesting study. So that's Wednesday evening. Prayer meeting Wednesday evening, 6:45. Please come and pray. You don't have to stay for class. Just come and pray. This assembly needs prayer. We need to be in prayer for each other, people. We need to be in prayer for this assembly. So, that's Wednesday evening. Alright, the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People, let's admit it. There are lots of things you can do with your money. And I'm talking about ministries. There are all kinds of ministries out there. All kinds of opportunities out there. But I believe what we're doing here, and apparently you do for coming, needs to be supported. We need to support getting it out on the internet. Support our young people. Support our missionaries. Support the teaching of the Word of God. You've got to make up your mind what you want to do. You have 24 hours in a day. You have X amount of money. So God the Holy Spirit directs us on what to do with that time, how to use that time, and what to do and how to use our money. This is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory for the ministry of Spring Valley Bible Church in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunities that you give this assembly. The opportunities, Heavenly Father, to spread the gospel, spread the teaching of the Word of God. The study that we do here, Father. The understanding of Scripture. And then, Heavenly Father, the living of the Christian life, loving as Christ loved, the power of the Holy Spirit producing spiritual love. So, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll continue to use this assembly, the spreading of the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The United Nations have made it very clear, openly, that they want a one world government in less than 12 years. Now, on just that score itself, we all know that our current president, President Trump, is a thorn in the flesh. He is not for one world government, he's for the United States. That's why people in America hate Make America Great. They hate his little red hat. Make America Great. They don't want America to be great. They want one world government, one world economy, one world religion. They all three go together. You got to have a one world government, have a one world religion, and a one world economy. Now, Islam has the Quran. One book. It's evil. It's anti-Christ. The Hindus have four sacred books that are evil, anti-Christ. Buddhism has three sacred books that are anti-Christ. The Mormons have four sacred books that are anti-Christ. Put all these things together, people. We live in a really strong anti-Christ society. But I don't think there's anyone in this room that would not want to have the freedom to have the Hindu books, the Islamic books, the Buddhist books, and the Mormon's books available. When a people in a society decide they no longer care about this flag, they no longer care about this nation, all the laws in the world aren't going to protect it. All the laws in the world are not going to protect that flag against discrediting it. If people are decided they don't like it, they don't want it, it's over. And you can pass whatever laws you want. They're not going to work. And that's the society that we live in. The Roman Catholic Church, which has over 1 billion people in it. The Roman Catholic Church, in 1978, voted in the first non-Italian pope in over 400 years, Pope John Paul II, from Poland, a communist who's made it very clear that socialism works. It worked in Poland by his claim. Therefore, it'll work in the world. Very strong on the push of one world government. Every pope but one has supported and advanced that one world government. The one pope that didn't lasted 33 days. And strong indication is he was assassinated. People, things are moving toward what you and I understand as the rapture and the tribulation. The tribulation actually will begin, it's hard to tell. It may be 6 months, it may be as much as 2 years after the rapture of the church, before the tribulation begins. Don't really know. But a lot of things are moving right now in that direction. One world government, one world religion, one world economy. These kinds of things are already in the rumblings, in the workings. You read about them and hear about them all the time. This is what is going on. This is a society you and I live in. This is the world we live in. We've got to make up our own mind, whether we stand on this book or not, whether we stand in the ministry of the Holy Spirit or not, and that by faith and faith alone. We have to make up our mind where we stand. Wishy-washy is not going to cover it. We've got to make up our mind. And please understand, be ready. If you are holding on to the Christian beliefs, you will be considered a hate monger. If you, they're defining, you can look it up now, They're defining genocide. The UN is, if I irritate, if I upset this person, I'm guilty of hate crime. I don't have to say, I hate homosexuals. All I have to do is say homosexuality is immorality. That disturbs them, therefore I'm guilty of a hate crime. You want it even stronger? If I say only those who believe in Jesus Christ are going to spend eternity in heaven, that makes somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ feel uneasy. I'm guilty of hate crime. Now right now, it's just written that way. However, in Canada, a man was put in prison for 5 years for hate crime, preaching against homosexuality in Canada. It's coming. It's not pie in the sky. It's coming. And you've got to make up your mind. How much do you believe in this book and the stand you're going to make? In morality, but especially in spirituality. The gospel. The gospel. I don't hate anyone who will spend eternity in a lake of fire. And neither does God. God loves every person that will be spending eternity in a lake of fire. In fact, He will love them while they're in the lake of fire. But that doesn't change the fact that's where they will go if they refuse to believe in His Son, whom He has given to the world so that they do not have to. He's done everything He can do. But preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel, is on its way of being a hate crime. And that's the society that our young people are growing up in. That's why day does not pass. I don't pray for our young people. I feel so sorry for them. I feel so sorry for them. In my teenage years, in the 50s, the big deal was, do you drink beer or not? That was the big deal in Houston. Do you drink beer? Not even drugs. Now, drugs out in California, but not in Houston. All we worried about in Houston was, do you drink beer? See? That was the big deal. Today, the young people, unbelievable. Unbelievable. The things they have from sex, drugs, homosexual, the moral issues, the spiritual issues. Please be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for them every day. If you care at all, be in prayer. Pick out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pick out one for each day of the month. Whatever way you want to do it, be in prayer. Be in prayer for the teachers. Be in prayer for the Daigs, the Wises, Phil McMillan as he prepares to teach. These are the hope of America, people. They're the hope of the gospel. They're the hope of the gospel. Kids are not taught the gospel in a lot of churches today. They're taught unity. They're taught to love everybody. Accept everybody. Get along with everybody. They're not taught the truth of the gospel. We're in trouble. They need your prayer support. And they need it badly. Severely. Every day. Pray different things. Pray for the spiritual awakening. Pray for the convicting ministry of the Spirit. Pray, just pick out different things to be in prayer for. Pray about Slam Camp. That those who come, how many are coming?
30 kids.
30 kids. You don't have 30 days, one a kid a day. You got 30 kids to pray for today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Be in prayer. What do you want to pray? Pray for safety in getting there. Pray for the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit that He will convict them as Phil teaches them. I almost put you with Paul. As Phil teaches them. That they will be convicted by what He says. That they will be convicted to listen and by what He teaches them. Pray for their spiritual fiber. pray for their courage. And then starting Sunday night, pray for safe to trip home, and then pray that it continues on. That it doesn't just drop when they leave Slam Camp. That it goes on. We got a lot to be in prayer for, people. And speaking of prayer, let's get ready for our study this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. First of all, anyone not have a copy of Silent Warfare? Anyone not have a copy? Everyone have a copy? Good. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and then get into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It reveals to us so much. It reveals to us what you would have us to do and how we can do it. Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4 really begins in verse 2. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful while you pray and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Okay, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Prayer is a silent service of the unseen warfare. Now, not many of you were here back in the 50s, and some of you may have been here, weren't old enough to enjoy the TV series that went on in the mid-50s. But there was a series on the silent service of the United States Navy, mainly on the submarines that fought an unseen war. And I'll tell you right now, we're watching this, I made up my mind, Lord, please don't put me on a submarine. I mean, those guys, they're brave. They're brave. They're either crazy or brave. They're down there in this can underwater. And, you know, the thing about infantry, if we get shot, we fall just a few feet and there's the ground. Not so in a submarine. So, it was really exciting. Anyway, unseen war and the submarines. Every episode began with the words, tonight we bring you another thrilling episode of Silent Service, Stories of Warfare Under the Sea. What a beautiful analogy to our dynamic prayer potential. Tonight we bring you another thrilling episode of Silent Service, Stories of Christians Praying in the Power of the Holy Spirit. How exciting is that? See, some of your greatest contributions in the spiritual warfare will not be from your pocketbook, but will be in your silent prayer. No one will ever know that you just struck a blow in their defense when you pray for them. No one, that is, except you and God. You will discover in a proper study of the defeat of the Japanese that it was not the A-bomb, but this marvelous submarine activity of the United States Navy. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you will discover that one of the greatest contributions to the spiritual warfare was your silent prayers. No one will know that it was because of you that things happened in their lives, in their ministries, because of your consistent, silent prayers. Now, we've kind of opened the box, so Phil and Chris, people that will be there will know. People, you got a great effect at this Slam Camp. You won't be there. You can't be there. You got other things you got to do. My goodness, you got to watch TV. You can't be there at Slam Camp. but you can be there in effect with your prayers. If you truly knew how powerful your prayers are in the spiritual warfare of others' lives, you would be in prayer all the time. Now, I'm often jealous of my wife, because while I'm lying there knocking out the Z's, she can't sleep. So she is silent, praying. In the darkness of the night, she is in the warfare while I'm sound asleep. She's in the battle. See? Devote yourselves. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves. This is the present active imperative of the verb meaning to endure, to maintain, to persist. Those are all out of Greek lexicons. Be dedicated to, as a sailor is dedicated to submarine duty, so should every Christian be dedicated to the silent offensive of prayer. This Greek word gives great emphasis to the duration of being persistent in some task. That's why it's translated devote, being persistent in some task. That is, you don't grow weary of praying or tired of praying for the same thing or the same events over and over, even if you don't see any change. We have a powerful personal weapon in prayer, but because it is silent, people are aware of it. Far too few believers are dedicated to this silent weapon. To give you an idea of the persistence in prayer, let's read what Jesus Christ, our Savior, friend, had to say about being devoted to prayer in Luke chapter 18. Now He, Jesus Christ, was telling them, His disciples, a parable to show that at all times they ought to be in prayer. At all times be in prayer. And not to lose heart. That is to stop praying. Saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Boy, that's some judge, isn't it? Verse 3. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. The judge was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, even though I do not respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she'll just flat wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for His elect to cry out to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I will tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find you using your secret weapon of prayer? Now, we're not going to study the Luke 18 thing, but I do want to point out one thing. There's a parable Jesus Christ is teaching. You got an unfaithful judge, unfaithful to God and to man. You got a faithful God. Even this judge will listen. How much more God? People, we learn from Job chapter 1, we can incite God to act how He may not have acted had you not prayed. People want to know, well, God knows all things. Why should I even pray? You can incite God. See? You learn this as a child. Something special coming up. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Can I have an extra 10? Things going on at school. I need an extra 10. Oh, yes, here it is. I wouldn't have gotten it had I not asked. Wouldn't have gotten it at all. But because I asked, I got the 10. So this is the way it is with God, people. You don't have because you don't ask. Please remember the Luke 18. Go to Him. Over and what good does it do? Pray the same thing over and over. Does God have a sharp memory? No, He doesn't. We do. We have a sharp memory. And when we keep coming before Him, we wear Him down. No, we don't. But that's the idea. You eventually say, you know what? I better answer their prayer one way or the other. Either a resounding no or a resounding yes. But I better answer them or they're just going to keep bugging me. See? So, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves. The present tense conveys the ideal of consistency. Being persistent and consistent in your prayer life. The active voice points out that this is your private, silent weapon. Active voice, this is yours. This is the weapon in your hand. This is the 45 in your hand. This is your weapon. And the imperative mood is used to remind everyone this is God's will for us every day. Please never say, this is a boring day. I have nothing to do. People, if you ever have that kind of day, please call me. Please call me. I'll give you 10 things to be in prayer for on your knees. I'll give you things to pray about. Real things, important things. You having a boring day? Call Chris Daig. Let him tell you about some young person's life that really needs your prayer support. Needs God to act in their lives. Needs you to incite God. Can they call you? Call him up. I didn't think about asking him first. Call him up. See? You always have silent warfare to engage in. These are people in this very assembly who need your prayers consistently. Jim and Anel Langston need you consistently. Brian Cooper needs you. His wife needs you. Kit needs you. I need you. The Daigs need you. The Wises need you. The McMillans need you. We all need each other all the time. Devote yourselves to prayer. Please think about this. Here you are, unimportant to the world. Now, I know you're important to your boss, to your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, somebody, your dog. See? But to the world, none of us are really that important. Here you are talking with a sovereign, omnipotent God. Leaders of the world never talk to Him. Leaders in the UN never talk to Him. Leaders of countries never talk to Him. And here you are, insignificant, in quotes, insignificant to the world, and yet you are talking to the sovereign, omnipotent God. Think about that. Think about that. See? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's not the same God as Allah. Muslims do not, indeed cannot have an intimate relationship with Allah. He's too important for that. But here it is, the one true God, Father of our Savior, and we can have an intimate relationship with Him. We could talk with Him. We could talk with Him. In fact, this is one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came to earth into the human race, to give us an intimate relationship with the Father. And He desires to interact with each one of us, so much that He has created and designed prayer that we communicate with Him 24/7. He never sleeps. He never sleeps. My wife's praying at 2 a.m. I'm knocking out Z's. Don't ask me. See, I'm sound asleep. Not God. He's right there, ready to talk and listen. You can use this silent weapon anytime, as often as you wish. Trust me, you will grow tired of praying before He grows tired of listening. That's just the fact of God. Without going through the entire doctrine of prayer, remember these simple primary principles of praying. Praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray at all times in the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in thanksgiving, Ephesians 5:20. Pray to God in good times and in bad times. Is your Heavenly Father, keep in close contact with Him. Okay, Colossians 4:2. Keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. All right, it's keeping alert. It's a present active participle. That's the ing, participle, of the verb, meaning to be alert. Pay close attention to dangers to your prayer life. People, we all have dangers to our prayer life. Let me tell you something. A television program could be a danger to your prayer life. Your dog can be a danger to your prayer life. Yes, your husband and your wife can be a danger to your prayer life. Fortunately, I'm not a danger to her at 2 in the morning. But we can be a danger. I meant that to be funny. We can be a danger to someone's prayer life. There are a lot of dangers, distractions. The present tense goes along with the present tense of devoting yourself to prayer. And while you're devoting to prayer, keep alert. Now this can be a middle voice, which means you act upon yourself to stay alert. And the participle is used to correspond to the previous imperative. Devote yourself to prayer. Keeping alert. Let's not pretend here, people. It's difficult to keep alert in prayer. The phone, cell phones ringing, children, something else, someone at the door, God forbid a TV program. This is why it is so important to keep alert. Be alert. You got to pray. I only have so many hours in a day, people. That's all we're given. So many hours in a day, and then it's gone. And I'll tell you right now, when you get in your 70s, it goes quickly. I've learned it doesn't really go quickly. What happens is, in your 70s, you move slower, and time just keeps going away. It seems like it's going quicker, but you're just moving slower. So here's the whole point, people. Be alert. Be alert. You have only so many hours to be in prayer. So you want to stay in that prayer. That's what we've got to do. Be in the prayer. Excuse me one moment. Gigi, would you give him a sheet that just came in behind you? And that's right, he'll get it. And turn to page 5 for him, Gigi. Page 5, okay. Now, we're under keeping alert. This is why it is so important when you pray to keep alert. In the 9:15 class, we just studied a very important passage on the same urgency. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things of the church is near, rapture. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Make your prayers sound judgment. Means to pray according to the plan of God. Sober means not distracted, but paying close attention to what you're praying. See? One of my favorite funny movies is Evil Roy Slade. And Evil Roy Slade was such a prayer warrior, and he was praying, and I loved his prayer. He said, "Oh God, don't let me get shot in the back while I'm shooting somebody in the front." That was his prayer. Well, I thought it was funny. See? But you want to be alert. Can I pray that kind of prayer? What can I ask God? Can I ask God this? Can I ask God that? Be alert in prayer. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The effective use of this silent weapon of prayer is dependent upon two things that Peter mentions here. Sound judgment. What should I pray for? What should I not pray for? That's why a prayer request, often I'll ask, what should we be in prayer? What do we want to be in prayer for Jim Langston? What do we want to be in prayer for Slam Camp? What do we want to be in prayer for someone that's ill, sick, not doing well. Someone is going somewhere. Someone is doing something. Someone is traveling. What do we want to pray? See? And sometimes it'll be, I can't get into that, but God knows. I can handle that. I can handle this privacy. It's privacy. So God, you know what this person needs. I pray you'll give it to them. See? Being sober. Not allowing anything to interfere with your prayers. When you handle a weapon, a pistol, you better know, you better have sound thinking. You better know what you're handling. Many accidents occur when a person is not sober. Not even, I'm not talking about being drunk. They're just not paying attention to what they're doing with the weapon. And it goes off and shoots their brother, their sister, somebody. Don't become anti-gun. Come for being anti-unsober. Be sober if you're going to handle a weapon. And prayer is a powerful weapon. Be sober. Let me tell you something when you handle prayer. You can handle a secret, a silent weapon. So you better not be distracted, but be alert. There are several things we are to keep on doing in these last days before the rapture. Live in the Holy Spirit. Abide in His Word. 2 John 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, and the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Do you have them? And then 3, yes. Go too far over with your teaching and become legalistic. Become a legalist. Okay? Alright, and then 3. So 1, live in the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? By faith. Abide in His Word. How do you do that? Go to a church where the Word of God is taught and listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then prayer. Colossians 4:2, keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. Keep on being alert in that prayer with thanksgiving. Praying at all times for us as well. First, be dedicated to prayer. Then, keep alert in your prayer. Don't fall asleep. Let me tell you about closing your eyes. That's not in the Bible. That doesn't mean it's holier. But how many times have you been, you know what, I need a shoe shine. Boy, I need a shoe. Look, there's a bug crawling right across the foot there. See? Look over there, man. She needs to shine those sandals she's wearing. See? Well, they need to clean the floor here. You're supposed to be praying! Not looking at the bug or your shoes or the floor! See? So, prayer just cuts out that distraction. It doesn't make you any more holy. And please don't do it if you're driving and praying. That's really dangerous. Don't close your eyes and drive and pray. You can drive and pray, but don't close your eyes. See? But you gotta not be distracted. You gotta concentrate on what you're doing in regard to prayer. With thanksgiving. And now when you pray, pray at the same time for us. Okay, people. If you only knew how effective you can be in your prayers. They're silent. No one else would know that what you've prayed for and that you prayed to your Heavenly Father. No one will know but you and your Father. This is an application of Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I think it's going to be so marvelous at the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody's up there, well, I'm not going to get anything. Boy, that person just walked off with a lot of rewards. That person didn't get anything. I'm not going to get anything. And then you start getting it. What is this for? You prayed. And you prayed in the Spirit. And you prayed. And you prayed in the Spirit. You prayed in the Spirit. People, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ are for time we spend in the Holy Spirit in fellowship with Him. And you walk away with a bundle of rewards. And what did you do? You gave up a TV show to be in prayer for young people. To be in prayer for people in the assembly. To be in prayer for your own husband, your own wife, your own children. See? Children of other people. And you get rewarded for it. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you walk away with eternal rewards from Jesus Christ, people will look at you in amazement. What? Why, they did not do anything great. They did not go to the mission field. They did not lead some great crusade. We did not even know they were even there. Remember, no one can see the submarines at the beginning of our message this morning using the submarine analogy. They were unseen. They were the silent weapons in World War II. They're more effective than the bomb dropped. Those devoted sailors, those devoted submarines, the silent warfare. No one saw them. No one saw them. No one knew they were there. See? They were silent. But we later saw the result of their being there. Well, this could be said of you. You can be one of the powerful silent weapons in the angelic conflict. Learn how to pray. Then dedicate your life to prayer. Over the years, we've heard over and over of the many people Bill and Pat Risley have brought to the Lord. Well, I don't know if you know this, but Bill Risley is in the habit of getting up an hour to 2 hours before anyone else, stealing away. If the weather allowed him, he would go out on a tree stump. If the weather was bad, he'd go over there, had an old dumpy camper that they didn't use except for storage junk. He'd sit in there and just go into prayer. He prayed for that day. He prayed for the Mexicans that he would lead to the gospel, the ones he would teach the word of God. He just prayed and prayed and prayed. And people, that's why there are going to be thousands in heaven. And as John Hintz likes to say, there's going to be so much tacos in heaven because of the Risleys that led all these people to the Lord. Because he prayed. He prayed about it. This is the silent weapon that we all have in our lives. Colossians 4:3, praying for us, praying at the same time for us as well. This is the principle of teamwork. Here is where each believer makes his or her own prayer list. Everyone cannot be on everyone's prayer list. Not everyone can be on your prayer list, not every day. You're under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Compile your own prayer list, and it should vary. There are certain things I pray for every day. I can't pray for everything every day. But there are some things I do pray every day. For an example, the Langstons have become part of my everyday prayer life. The young people are part of my everyday prayer life. My own study in the Word of God, every day in my prayer life, constantly. Some of you in this church, periodically through the week, by name. But we all have our own prayer list. I am so thankful to Leslie Jensen, who gets us out a church prayer list. I'm so thankful to her. She is very busy. She's a wife, and her mother's demanding. She is was in college, done on a lot of things, and yet she was faithful getting us our prayer list. Military names on it, people in the ministry's name on it, people in sick names on it. So you had that prayer list. You have your own prayer list. I asked to be put on every one of your prayer lists. Be prayer for people in this assembly. As you compile your own private list, make it will change over a period of time, maybe daily. As God answers prayer for some sick, then you replace them with new names. Next, Paul tells them exactly what he wants them to pray for. That's a very important conjunction. This conjunction introduces what specifically Paul desires them to pray. Don't ever speed read past these conjunctions in the text. Then, when you ask someone to be in prayer, it is helpful to give them a specific request. I'll give you one. We're in chapter 27 of Acts. We're almost through the book of Acts. What am I going to cover next? How am I going to cover it? What are we going to do on Wednesday night? Granted, there's a handful of people. But hopefully I might pick something that one or two more might be interested in. But whatever we do, I ask you for your prayers in that respect. Okay, it is always helpful to make it clear what you desire in your prayer request. Now look what he says. That God. Paul knows it starts with God. In the church age, prayers are addressed to God the Father. In the Lord's Prayer in John 17, he addresses the Father several times. Always remember whom you're addressing. God the Father. And you are asking him to act in various circumstances. Or you are giving thanks to him for what he's done. That God will open up for us a door for the Word. Now, here's a specific prayer from Paul, the apostle. Remember, he's in prison at this time. Colossians is what is called one of the prison epistles. Does not ask for release. I think a lot of us would have said, please, please get me out of this Roman jail. The food's terrible. It stinks. Get me out of here. Not Paul. He doesn't ask to get out of prison. He doesn't ask for better food. No, he asks for more opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. Paul asks for prayer that God will give him more opportunities to witness to the Praetorian Guard, to various VIPs in the palace who might come into the area of the jail. Paul uses the aorist active subjunctive of the Greek verb, which means just that, open doors. And don't be misled by the aorist tense. This is what is called an ingressive aorist, which contemplates the action of the verb at the beginning. You begin to open up doors. It is generally translated to begin opening doors. Apparently, up to this point, since Paul has arrived at Rome, this place as a prisoner, he's not had much opportunity to witness for Christ. He feels the doors have been shut. And why should he not feel this way? What have we just studied on Wednesday night? In Caesarea, he's been there for 2 years. He has talked to high people. He's talked to a king, King Agrippa. He's talked to high-ranking Israelites. He's talked to a lot of people while he was in jail for 2 years in Caesarea. He's talked to the Sanhedrin, the Roman commander, Felix, the governor. He's talked to Agrippa II and Bernice, to a court filled with dignitaries. Now, here he is in Rome, and apparently nothing's really happening. See, he had the shipwreck, got to Rome, and apparently not much has happened. So Paul desires them to be in prayer, that doors would be open for him to tell others of Jesus Christ. People, it's God who opens doors. They don't just open. It's God who opens them. Getting ready to go on a trip on a plane. God, put me next to somebody who needs the gospel, who needs to know the filling of the Spirit by grace through faith, who needs to know where to go and listen to the teaching of the Word of God, who's hurting. That's my prayer every time I get on a plane. It used to not be. I used to not be under prayer. What changed me? I got on a prayer one day. See, I get on a plane. I got my books. I've got it all planned. How much I want to have read. Take notes. Do this kind of thing. Don't bother me. Don't just let me do this. I'll never forget one day, this man sat next to me. 3 times he wanted to talk about his problems. and three times I brushed him off. The fourth time, I got the point. Closed my books, and we engaged a conversation about the gospel. He believed in Jesus Christ as Savior right there on the plane. Thank God it was a long flight. Thank God I was finally woke up. See, God opens doors, yes.
Be the answer of the prayer then?
Like yes, yes, you bet. So, people, please know that you're in a position to incite God to act where He may not have acted had you not been in prayer. We learn this from the first book God gave us, the book of Job, the first chapter of Job. We learn we can incite God. We saw it in the passage we just read where Christ gave him in Luke 18. Also, James chapter 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door. By this time in the city of Rome, there are other men with the gift of pastor-teacher. Right now, Rome is ready for harvest. By application, I encourage you to be in prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church, for me and my studies, for our internet outreach, for our youth outreach, open doors, ministry of this assembly, so that we may speak forth. The New American Standard reads like this is a subjunctive mood, but it's really an aorist infinitive. To speak. To communicate. All right, let's look at open doors. One, let's begin by noting who opens doors, who shuts doors. Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open, says this. So, when we pray for open doors, remember, you're praying for this to the one who opens doors and shuts doors. Opens opportunities to witness, shuts opportunities to witness. Secondly, believers filled with the Holy Spirit can pray effective prayers for God to open doors for teaching of the Word of God. Colossians 4:3, our passage. Three, an open door means an open opportunity. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. In the study of Acts 20, where they were so interested in the study of the Word of God, that Paul kept right on teaching up to midnight. And a young man fell asleep. He shouldn't have been sleeping in the window if he was prone to doing that. But this young man, Paul just got going. I mean, he was going from around 5, and here it is midnight, and he's still waxing eloquently. Well, this young man was sitting at a window. The candles put forth their smell, and he just and dozed off. Don't you do it. And fell out the window. Died. Paul saw an interruption to Bible class, went downstairs, fell on the young man, raised him from the dead, went back up, and continued teaching till dawn. They were interested in the Word of God. Four, open doors often changes our plans. Now this one you've got to get ready for. Open door changes your plan. I plan on getting reading done on the plane. Pray for open doors, may not get any reading done. See? I pray for this, open doors, don't get to do that. This is what happens, the open door opportunity. 1 Corinthians 16:7. For I do not wish to see you now, just in passing. For I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. I don't want to just come through and say hi. I plan on staying. Verse 8. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me. It changed his plans. He didn't plan on staying in Ephesus. But boy, they were positive. I'm sure he didn't plan on teaching all night and then till 6 in the morning. Open doors. People positive. One thing about a good teacher or a true teacher, if you're listening, they'll teach. Every now and then, not always, I'll look up after and y'all are still sitting. I'll get back up here and start teaching. They're not in a hurry to get home. See? They're not in a hurry to get out of here to the restaurant. So, but Paul was ready to continue teaching. See? So, open doors. If you pray it, it may change your plans. 5, open doors are often accompanied by Satan's counterattack. Be ready for that. Always be ready for Satan's counterattack. 1 Corinthians 16:9. And there are many adversaries. People that don't want you to come and teach. 6, when you pray for open doors, pray they be wide open. I love this. 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a wide door for effective service has opened to me. See? Don't want just a little bitty door. I'm a big guy. I need a big door. I need a real big door. A wide door. It means lots of people. Not just one person, but lots of people. See? Not just one race, lots of races. Not just one economic hall. Just give me a wide door. Surprise me, Lord. Surprise me with a wide door. See? 6. There are 2 aspects of open doors. 1st, that the door will be open for the presentation of the gospel or the word of God, but then also that the hearts of unbelievers will be open to the truth of the gospel. Acts 14:27. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Colossians 4:3, praying at all times for us as well that God will open up to us a door so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. That refers to the content of the message. Paul wishes to speak truth, for which I have also been imprisoned. Pray that I may make it clear. Okay, let's briefly look at the mystery of Christ. This could take up hours. Let's close with just a few minutes on the mystery of Christ. 1. The Greek word refers to information, doctrine, that was unknown throughout all the Old Testament period, from Adam up to the coming of Jesus Christ. It refers to doctrine never revealed until the church age. See, this is why in Israel they got really confused. Okay, I believe this talks about the Messiah. It talks about glory. It talks about judging. It talks about establishing his kingdom. Got it. Isaiah 53, suffering, that's not the Messiah. See, I got the Messiah down, he's coming in glory. How could he come in suffering? It was confusing to them. They didn't know about the church age. They didn't understand a lot of things. So, only a few saw, got to come and suffer, and then his kingdom. That's what his disciples thought. Right after the resurrection, they looked on him bringing in the kingdom, and they wanted to sit right next to him in the kingdom. That he left the earth blew their mind. What about us? What's going to happen to us? You're leaving. We followed you. Take it, old doubting Thomas. You went to Jerusalem. Okay, we went to Jerusalem. You got killed. We didn't. See? You went to Samaria. We go to Samaria. We followed you. Where you went. What are we supposed to do when you leave? I'm giving you my spirit. And where my spirit leads, you follow. That's why you have Christians all over the world, in every continent. And you can follow him. We all don't have to stay at the same Holiday Inn. See? We stay at different places. We follow him where he leads us, the Spirit. That's the dynamics of the church age. See? So this is the mystery, things they did not know about. Two, in the Old Testament, the coming of Jesus the Messiah was revealed. His birth, his perfection, and both of his deaths on the cross. By the way, last week we studied why he was born in Bethlehem, and they knew it. Once a year they read Ruth. They knew it was Bethlehem. Just didn't make an imprint. His resurrection, ascension, session were all revealed in the Old Testament. Then the Old Testament became silent. Then the Old Testament picked up with the tribulation in Daniel and other Old Testament prophets. His second advent, his reign in the millennium were all revealed in the Old Testament. But again, there was a blatant silence. That's the mystery. That's the church. Three, the mystery simply means church age truth, not taught in Old Testament. The word mystery in the New Testament Greek is never used for anything obscure. It's used of something deliberately hidden from the Old Testament believers. Four, very interestingly, part of the mystery includes the blindness of Israel during the church age. Romans 11:25, but I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, replacement theology, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, until the end of the church age. And then it picks up. Israel will have its last 7 years of its covenant. Five, the mystery of the church age was part of the plan of God decreed in eternity past. It's not new to God. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And six, very important, the pastor teacher of the church age is responsible for the teaching of the truths of the mystery and is therefore a steward of the mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. People, if the pastor's not teaching the mysteries of God, he's not teaching the Word of God. Seven, so that you will not be deceived, the rapture of the church is part of the mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. Eight, to fully grasp the mystery requires a full understanding of the Word of God, a full understanding from Genesis to Revelation. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit or united together in spiritual love, resulting in all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. People, you simply cannot learn too much about Jesus Christ. The more you learn about Jesus Christ, the more you're learning of the mystery, which is Jesus Christ Himself. The more and more people in the world today are turning away from Jesus Christ as the only Messiah, the only Savior, the only way to eternity, the worst things are going to get. But to us, He is the fulfillment of God's mystery. That is, our eyes are open the more we focus on Him. Q. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your marriage eyes on Him, your single eyes on Him, your financial eyes on Him, your health eyes on Him, your welfare being eyes on Him. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much that You've made us part of this whole plan. You've made us soldiers in the spiritual warfare. And You've given to each one of us a weapon, a silent weapon of prayer. I pray, Father, we'll be motivated to use this silent weapon constantly, without ceasing, from rising to going to bed, for ourselves, for others, unbelievers, believers. Thank You, Father, for giving to us this wonderful opportunity to participate in the spiritual warfare. I pray, Father, Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior, friend. In His precious name we pray. Amen.